I'm aware that some of what I'm about to say, in the first bit particularly, some of you will have heard before, but I just want to give you some background. So if you've heard it before, please don't switch off. There is new stuff coming. On the 12th of July, 2020, following our early morning prayer meeting at 7 o'clock, I went out for my bike ride. And I didn't come home for the next 11 days. I was involved in a collision with a car that I can honestly say was life-changing. I broke my back with one burst vertebrae, three fractured vertebrae, a smashed shoulder, and a significant knock to the head. Sue asked them if they could establish whether I actually had a brain or not. They didn't do that. Now, I should say that the physical stuff is one side, but I was unprepared for the psychological trauma that comes with a big accident. Now, since then, I've made an excellent recovery, on the whole. My shoulder has been reconstructed, and I am incredibly grateful for the love and the care and the support that this church has provided. And I would like to make special mention, actually, to Richard Morris here. You see, almost a year after the accident, and on the advice of my physiotherapist, it was time to get back on a bike. The bike had been repaired. And Richard would come, and he would lift the bike out of the garage and put it on the back of his car, and he would drive us down to somewhere flat, safe, and no cars. And together, we would cycle, natter, building up confidence, endurance, strength. And the net result of this is that exactly, or 1 week shy of a year after the accident, together Richard and I rode that original route. Together we rode past, actually I didn't, I got off and walked past where the accident had taken place. Since then, we've ridden together many times. We've ridden the entire length of the Gloucester to Sharpness Canal. We've ridden from Stroud to Lavender Bakehouse. We've ridden from Bitton to Bath, always on cycle tracks, always staying away from the cars, but always together. And then, on the 1st of August this year, Maurice Bishop, some of you are very familiar with Maurice. Maurice has been a dear friend to me over many years. Maurice phoned me, and he said this. In amongst all the other conversations, suddenly he said, "So, brother," he said. Maurice always calls me brother. "Brother," he said, "when are you going to go out on your own?" Oh, I didn't like that. That niggled. But two verses came straight to mind. The first is this one. "The slap of a friend can be trusted to help you, but the kisses of an enemy are nothing but lies." And I felt I'd been slapped by a friend. And the second is this. "Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ." Maurice, and in the conversation that followed, Maurice didn't do anything but out of love. He genuinely wanted me to go past the barrier. And then at the end of the conversation, I thought, "That's okay. Yes, Maurice, I'll do it." And he said, "Well, brother, I'll call you on Friday and find out how you got on." Not only had he niggled me, he was now holding me to account. You see, I was quite cross because actually I didn't want to go out on my own. I really enjoy riding with Richard. We have a good time. And you know, I could quite comfortably say to people, "Oh, and yes, I'm riding my bike again, yes." But of course, I wasn't on my own, was I? The reality is there was a huge barrier in the way, a psychological barrier, and I hadn't realized just how big a barrier it was. But I promised Morris, hadn't I? I'd made a promise and I had to do something about it. So on Monday the 8th, so just before the week was up, I finally picked up enough courage. I put on all my cycling kit and Sue was sat by the phone just in case. Just in case something happened. You see, I think Sue was as nervous as I was, if truth be told. Because a year before, she hadn't been able to visit me. The last time she saw me was at the side of a road being put into an ambulance. So I set off on my own. And I can't tell you just how much my heart was pounding, how nervous I was, how traumatized I was. But I'm doing it. And I went down Robber Hill and I joined the cycle path. And then I set off and I got gained in confidence. Every single crossing, I stopped. I got off the bike. I checked multiple times before I walked the bike over. But then I actually made it to the place where I'd had the accident. And one question arose, and that is, who is going to ask you the awkward questions? What are the barriers for you? You see, because if Morris hadn't asked me, I would never probably have done this. We need people who will ask us awkward questions, who will be a friend, who will be someone we can trust to slap us. And what are the barriers? Because unless we know what the barriers are, we can't move on. Now, how about you? Do you ever sing some of these songs, some of these choruses, and you just sing the words and you don't really think about them? You link them, and they're great. And then when you reflect on it, you think, what on earth is it on about? One that niggles me a lot is this one. Lighthouses don't move. How can you follow them? And even if you follow the light, all you're going to do is end up smashing on the rocks. Now, we know what they're trying to say in the song. We know. But then I get to this one. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I've checked all the medical journals. There are no eyes in your heart. We do know what they're trying to say. In fact, in one Bible translation, it says, this is the Voice Bible translation. Anyone heard of the Voice Bible translation? The Voice says, open the eyes of their hearts and let the light of your truth flood in. Shine your light on the hope you are calling them to embrace. You see, whenever I've sung Open the Eyes of My Heart, I've had this sort of a picture in my head. But this is scriptural. Open the eyes of my heart. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 16 to 20, there is a prayer from Paul. There are two prayers from Paul in the start of the book to the Ephesians. This is the first one. I'm going to read you the second one in a minute. Paul says, I've not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you may grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light. That's the opening the eyes of your heart. So the hearts will be flooded with light so you can understand the confident hope He has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. That's you, folks. And I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. You can just sense Paul getting excited, can't you? And then in chapter 3 of Ephesians, he says, now then, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. And I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources. He will empower you with inner strength through your spirit, through his spirit, sorry. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep is his love. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand fully. And then you will be made complete with all of the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. That's the God we've got rooting for us. So let's go back to this solo bike ride, the first solo bike ride. In the whole 8-mile journey, it's not that far, at the top speed, a frightening top speed of 15 miles an hour, one moment caught me. One moment opened the eyes of my heart. You see, when I got to the spot where the accident happened, I stopped, I leant the bike up, I found somewhere to sit, and I prayed. And I would be lying if I told you that wasn't a very emotional moment. You see, I thanked God so much for his love and his care, for his provision, protection, his power at work, his presence in me, his peace that had been with me throughout, his promises in my life. I thanked him for the church, that is you, who have been amazing. I thanked him for my family. I thanked him for Sue, who over that last 2 years has had to learn to realize what it merely means when we pray out in sickness and in health. And she's been amazing. I thanked God for Stephen and Miriam, Millie Ray and Ayla and Esme in New Zealand. And I thanked him for Matthew and Ruth and Rose and John in Oxford. And then it was like a thunderbolt striking me for John. John is my only grandson. Sorry, I should have read those. This is John. John and Granddad have got a very, very special connection. John makes me and Sue very happy. But what hit me was if things had only been a fraction different on that day, 2 years and 48 days ago, I would never have met John. Even a second earlier, and I would have been under the car. If the shards of vertebrae that are still stuck in my spinal column were even a millimeter deeper, I would most probably have been paralyzed. That what could I've been hit me really hard, but particularly that I might never have met this young man. What happened, and you, those of you who know me well, know I am not frightened of death. I understand what Paul meant when he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But the thought of not having had the last 2 years with John broke me. You see, although I knew the facts, although there was nothing new here, no one could say, well, surely you knew that already. It took this moment, stopping and praying by the cycle path, to have the eyes of my heart opened. Somehow I saw beyond. Somehow I saw to a deeper truth. Somehow I saw to something that really hit me. And it would never have happened if Morris had not asked the question. And then if after Morris had asked the question, I hadn't done something about it. So today, I want to pray for us, for you and me, that we get to see beyond what we already know to the deeper realities, the reality that gets under our skin, the reality that goes beyond head knowledge to heart knowledge. a reality that opens the eyes to our heart to see Jesus. So when we see in that prayer that Paul prays that we might have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is, what does this mean? So I decided to try a little experiment. I cleared all the cookies, all the history, all the memory of my Google searches, because I wanted this to be an absolute clean search. And I thought I would just type in, how wide is? I thought, this is going to be great. This is going to be mammoth. And the first answer that came up was a double bed. Now, if any of you feel tempted to, it's 4'6". That's not really what I was looking for. So, the next answer down was, how big, how wide is the Milky Way? And the answer is, 105,700 light years. And God's bigger than that. God spoke, and it was. So I thought, okay, well, if that's how wide, how long? Do you want to have a guess what Google told me? How long to deep fry a turkey? I'm so glad this wasn't based on my search history. And in case you're interested, a 15-pound turkey takes 45 minutes to deep fry. So again, we went past that. And now I think Google is catching up and remembers what the last one I looked at was. So how long is a light year? And a light year is 37,200 human years. So if you think there are 105,700 light years and a light year is 37,200 human years, it's big, really big. And God is bigger than that. So then I went to how high, and by this point, Google's got frustrated with me. So he says, how high is the atmosphere? 6,214 miles. So then we go to how deep. And it came up with, how deep is the ocean? Well, the Mariana Trench is 36,201 feet deep. That's the deepest point of the oceans. And these are all big numbers. But God is so much bigger. And somehow, what my prayer is this morning, somehow is we go beyond human dimensions. We go beyond feet and inches or miles or whatever. We can't put God in a box. Now, I want to pray that we see Jesus in a newer, fresher dimension, that the eyes of our heart might be opened, that we see Jesus for who he is, not contained or constrained by metric or imperial measurements. And that might mean we need to step outside of our comfort zones. It might mean we need to think outside of the limits of how wide, long, high, and deep. It might mean that we need to admit to ourselves that the sin that we have got used to in our life and we're comfortable with needs to change. It might mean that your suppositions or even your resignations about who you are and your abilities and how God can view you, that needs to be blown apart. Because whatever it is, you have put constraints upon yourself, and God wants to change it. He's got so much more for you. So as I pray these two prayers over you, and I pray the love and the grace of Jesus allows your hearts to be opened. So as I pray, would you, if you're happy to, just close your eyes and understand that this prayer is what I'm praying, what Paul prayed actually for his church. I pray for you, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called. That's you. His holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. And I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for all of us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. And it seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. And I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth, and I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. I pray that your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. And may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. And then you will be made complete with all of the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Amen. And then there's one last thing. Everything I've told you today is true. Everything happened on the timescale I've told you about. But I did complete the ride. And Morris did phone me. And I've told Morris all that you've just heard. That his loving, gentle provocation has set me free to ride alone again. And I've done so several times since. I still look forward to our rides, Richard, by the way. And I hope that my gentle provocation for you today, hopefully aided by the Holy Spirit, might set you free. That you no longer settle for where you are. You no longer allow psychological barriers to hold you back. But that you might willingly invite people to ask you the awkward questions. And in so doing, hopefully see Jesus far more clearly than you've ever done before. God bless you.